Praise the Lord. So good to see you all out in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I hope you're all following the fires, praying for all those people. I really felt bad about the families looking for their children, found them dead, burned in their home. Their great-great-grandmother, you know, what a loss. And in Greece, everything that's going on. There's so much going on in the world that I read where the Christians overseas are being persecuted, shot, killed for their belief. Just every day, hundreds of them are being slaughtered. We just really need to thank God that we are where we're at in America, and that God has us under His wing, and that we're not going through the things that other people are going through. Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. Father, everyone that came out this morning to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven, fill them to overflowing. Let them feel your presence in a way they've never felt it before. And Father, we just ask that your angelic hosts be walking to and fro throughout these chairs this morning, ministering to the needs of your people. We love you and we thank you and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory that's due the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We say all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I just think that last song we sang is just beautiful. I just really do like that song. I just wonder how many people really do that, loving their Jesus, you know. Or if you just take him all for granted and just aren't concerned about what's going on around about you. I don't know if you feel that there's something in the atmosphere that's not right. I'm not talking about this church, but just something in the atmosphere. There's a stirring of some sort, and you can't really get the joy of the Lord the way we would like to get it. But there's just something going on, and we really need to really stay in tune to God and listen for His voice and see what is going on, and so we can pray properly. And so God can warn us and prepare us for what is about ready to happen in America. You really need to be praying for our president. Poor man is going through hell. His family is going through hell. And you know he's of God, or they leave him alone. And instead of talking about him, you need to be praying for him. If you don't like him, then take it up with God, because he's God's man of the hour. And he's here for a purpose. I'm glad I'm not walking in his shoes. That's what each one of you be saying, because you wouldn't be able to do the job as good as he is, because you're not anointed to do it. Are you listening here? This morning I'm going to teach on God is able, because God keeps telling me that he's able. And, you know, for two nights in a row I've gotten awake off and on during the night singing that song, He'll Do It Again. So God's trying to tell us something, but I don't know what it is. But when I find out, I'll let you know. And if you find out first, let me know. All right. I keep hearing that song, and he keeps telling me through the day that he's more than able. All right. Are you running the right race or the rat race? If you win the rat race, you will still be just a rat. All right. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are in a race. God has set this race before us. He's the one that did this. And the word tells us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who we looking to? Unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Everything we do, we should be looking to Jesus. Not to our circumstances, not to our friends, but looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our life. The writer is drawing from the practical lessons of these heroes' lives. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race set before us. You know, the writer of Hebrews is talking about these great witnesses. When Pastor Larry died, first thing that Brother Allen said to me, he's now part of the great cloud of witnesses. And that really, you know, I didn't think of it, but it really struck me as really unique and wonderful. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race set before us. Now, whether you know it or not, our loved ones are up there watching us and cheering us on. I mean, God's opened the windows of heaven and has shown me that years and years ago. So that's the great cloud of witnesses, and they're telling you, you can make it. They might have made it by the skin of their teeth, but they're telling you, you can really make it. You don't have to make it by the skin of your teeth. You can gloriously make it. All right, so just remember that. I know a lot of them up there, I'm quite sure they would like to come down and sit and talk to you now. You know, and just tell you, come on, you can do this thing. All right, we are in the arena appointed to run, to wrestle, or to fight. We are in the arena appointed to run, to wrestle, or to fight. They are witnesses as well as spectators, this great cloud of witnesses. For they testify to the power of God by which they have overcome, and in their calm repose they witness to the end of a faithful life. This great cloud of witnesses is witnessing to a faithful life. In other words, they are saying, be faithful to in your walk with God and run the race. Don't stop. Run the race. I don't want to get in my evening message there. But they are not all that look upon us or on whom we are to look. Under this great cloud of witnesses are not the only ones looking upon us, and they are not the only ones we should be thinking about. Luke 9:27 says, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. This is God, Jesus speaking. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Whenever you read that, don't you just wonder how in the world they could ever sleep like that and with the glory of God all around them? You do the same thing. Yeah, as I was typing that, I thought, how could they possibly be heavy with sleep? And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. That's just like us. We'd want to do all kind of wonderful things like that too, wouldn't we? So we're no different than Peter. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. There was no shadow of a doubt in their mind that that was not Jesus. God himself covered them all with a cloud and then said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. You know, we're no different than the disciples were in the Word. We think about Jesus, we get all caught up in a moment, and we just say and do some dumb things. And you know, and we miss the whole point of what just happened. And what God would really like for us to stop getting caught up in a moment, and he would like us just to understand what has really happened at that given time, whether you're having a visitation or whatever it is, but look around about you and see really what is going on. I know in my walk with God, many things have happened. I got so excited about it for the moment, thought it was so wonderful, but I never stopped and looked what it was all about. And I've told some the other day, I just now realize how important and what a kind of anointing I had when I first started. Just now, after 30-some years. See, I got caught up in a moment and never looked around. It's best that you find out right now what God is saying to you and the different things he has you do. And it won't, don't take 30, 40 years down the road to understand what God's trying to do through you and with you. Understand it today that you are unique, you are important to God, and he's trying to do great and wonderful things through you. And don't let anybody else steal that from you. Are you listening? Everybody will try to steal your anointing. They'll try to steal your promises. And they'll just try to make you believe that you're not God's. Don't allow anybody to do that. Because God is able, if he's called you, he's able to bring you through whatever he's told you you're going to do. And don't let anybody burst your bubble. Don't let anybody say there's no way you can possibly do that. If God has said it, then he's going to accomplish it through you. And this is what the problem in the body of Christ is. Everybody's always trying to tell everybody else how to live. Everybody's always trying to say, did God really say? You're not hearing God. You're being deceived. You know, and this is why God said it's so very, very important that we know his voice. And, you know, with the daily word he gave you the other day, he said, I'm only talking now in a still small voice. And we better know his voice. And we better be able to hear his voice, that still small voice. All right? We are compassed with witnesses, but we are looking unto Jesus who is able. All right? So you know, as a pastor, you have your staff. And you want them to support you and everything else. But it's not your staff that you look upon for your help or whatever you need. It's Jesus. Because your staff will do dumb things. Jesus does not. Okay? Always remember that whenever you go out, whatever you do, whatever God's called you to do, it doesn't matter who he's put by your side. Don't count on them to accomplish what God, only God can accomplish. You look to Jesus and he'll get it done. All right? All right, the Bible describes a Christian life in some interesting ways. As on a boat trip across the great sea, as a sheep being led by a shepherd, as a soldier going to war, as a walk, but also as a race, but as a very special kind of race. The runner's prayer is found in Isaiah 40:31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord, we have not understood that scripture, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. See, if we would just wait upon the Lord, this is our problem. We want to run wild, and God's saying, be still. And we have a very hard time of being still, right? But it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The Bible has much to say about running. So we need the spiritual lesson about running the spiritual race. Because this is a spiritual race. Run the best race. 2 Timothy 2:5, also if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. So run the best race. You run the race by the rules of God, not your rules, not man's rules, but by God's rules. Run a legitimate race. You are running in some race. You're either running in the rat race or the right race. In the body of Christ, a lot of the body of Christ is running in the rat race. And they just don't understand what's going on around about them. And that's why they're not finishing the race. The choice is not to run or not to run. The choice is what race are you going to run in? Number two, you must walk before you run. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You have to walk before you run. See, too many Christians want to run. God speaks the word and they just want to take off and start running and do wonderful, powerful things. But this isn't God's will. He wants you to wait until he tells you. When I first started, people wanted me to start a church and God said, not now. You wait. Don't you dare step out before I tell you to. And see, if I would have listened to the people, I'd have got in trouble. But because I waited upon the Lord, God took care of everything. Are you listening to this? And no matter how much of a desire that you have to do a great works for the Father, you have to have the Father's perfect timing, or it's all going to fall apart. All right? All right. Number three, run light. Galatians 5:16 says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily beset entangles us. Those who train for big races put weights on their legs and around their waist. This is in the natural. The day of the race, they take them off so they will run lighter. The word tells us that we are to lay aside that particular sin that so easily entangles us. Question, what is your entangling sin? Are you listening? You have to examine yourself and see what is this, Father God, that's weighing me down that I can't run this race the way I'm supposed to run it. All right? I've been crying out to God, God, there's something not right with me. What is it? And he told me, he said, you become cynical. He said, you start looking at circumstances around about you and what the people are doing, and you took your eyes off me and you become cynical. So I've been working on not being cynical and not looking at what the people are doing and just keep my eyes upon Jesus. So what is your sin that entangles you? So you have to be honest with yourself and open with yourself and God if you're going to run this race well. Too many people are sitting around in self-deception, deceiving themselves that they're God, and they're not, and they can't. And there's things going on in their life that they need to stop, but because they don't want to face their sin, they don't talk to God about it, and they just carry it, and therefore you don't run your race very well at all. All right? The fourth thing is run anywhere. Luke 14:23 says, then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You can run anywhere. You can run in the big city, on a country road, on a track, on a treadmill. I'm talking natural running. You can go out your front door and run. You don't need any special equipment, not a basketball where you have to have hoops and a court. It is not racquetball that requires a special room. It is not tennis that requires a court and special rackets. Now, running for God requires you to go and run. Just do it. You know, Elaine and Mark, they just went and started on the streets. And they're seeing great results. They just went. They didn't pray and fast for 40 days and nights, I don't think. They just went. And God met them. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. There is no, well, I am not in the right place to run for God, or I don't have the right equipment to run the race that God wants me to run, or if I was only on the mission field. You can run out your front door and be in the running race that God has called you to run. You can be right in your own home and run the race because you know, your home sometime, you know, is people that need to be saved. Just run the race. Just go out there because God's, I'm hearing him say, you're already equipped. What are you waiting on? Are you listening? All right, number five, run encouraged. Great cloud of witnesses are cheering you on in Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, in the natural, running requires you to draw from an inner strength. You have to reach down deep inside of you and find a power that is not of the body. The same is true when you run the spiritual race. You must allow God to renew, to help you mount up, to keep you from being weary, to keep you from fainting. You have to rely on God, not yourself. You can't listen to the flesh nature when you run. It will say, hey, this is hurting. You need to stop. This is like even when you're doing exercising. What is wrong with you? Can't you feel your muscles aching? You're breathing too hard. Listen, stupid, you know that you can't run for a solid hour without stopping. But after about a mile, the second wind, you begin to relax, enjoy the run, and you quit hurting. Brother Larry was a runner, and he used to always tell me about his running experiences, and I was glad he did, because now, you know, that's knowledge I can draw from. Amen. I was never a runner, but he was. It is true about running the race that God has called us to run. The flesh nature will tell you, you can't run this race. You're not equipped. What is wrong with you? You better sit down before you get yourself into trouble. That's what it tells you, but that's not true. God called you to run a race. If he didn't call you to run a race, it wouldn't be in the Word. Are you listening here? All right, the sixth thing is run with endurance, with patience. This is not a sprint that God has called you to run. It is a marathon. You must keep running until you finish the goal line. I think the Special Olympics are wonderful. They have it set up that if they finish the race, they win. That is what kind of race God has each of us in. It is a Special Olympic. We must race until we cross the finish line. We can't let life circumstances make us stop. We just can't. And I know we'd like to. There isn't a person in this room would just like to stop running the race at times, in different times in your life. But we can't do that. We have to keep on running because we're running for a prize. You know, and we're getting our crown. And we have to keep going. God told me not too long ago, don't let any man steal your crown. He said, just keep running. He said, I'm with you in this race. And God's with you in your race. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is with you in your race. And God will see you through. He'll make sure he runs right alongside you. And if you get tired and weary, he's going to pick you up and carry you. I know, been there, done that. And some of you have too. And you just finish your race. Do the things God called you for to do. Look, all right, so we have a great cloud of witnesses that we who really believe there is a heaven, we know that cloud of witnesses is there. But how about you being a cloud of witness here on earth to the lost and the dying? Can they look to you and see Jesus in you and get refreshed and renewed and know that if God can do this for you, God will do it for them? Or what kind of an example are you? I go to church, I prophesy, I speak in tongues, I heal the sick, but what kind of Christian are you really? Can other people look at you and say, this is truly God? And I want to have what they have. That's how I became born again. I always went to church, but this friend of mine, she was a mess. Loved her. And she came into college one night to pick me up. We were going to classes. I worked there, but we were going to classes. And she was different, totally different. And I said, what is wrong with you? She used to be boisterous and cussed and carried on. And she didn't even hardly whisper. I said, what is wrong with you? Whatever it is I wanted, I said. She said, tomorrow night you get it. Took me to a full gospel men's meeting. But see, she was a witness for Christ. I wanted what she had. Now, do people look at you and want what you have? Or are you a raving maniac saying, praise God, praise Jesus, and you're out there doing crazy stuff? People don't need that. That's what they already have. They want something steady, sure, and steadfast. They want to see that there's more to life than this crazy stuff. They want to see there's peace in the midst of the storm. They want to know that Jesus, the water walker, and the only way they're going to know that is through you. I know life throws us many, many different blows. I know that. And I know that we try with all of our heart to get out of them, but we get bound in those things. I can't think of his name. They had a TV program. His wife, she went into a state of depression, stayed there for a year, 2 years. Everybody prayed for her. All the best prayed for her is where they put it. And just all of a sudden, just as one day she went into a state of depression, wouldn't get out of bed, wouldn't comb her hair, you know, she wouldn't eat. And just as then all of a sudden one day she just snapped out of it. They to this day don't know what happened. But see, this happens to a lot of people. They didn't give up on her. They loved her and took care of her. And just one day she snapped out of it. So what I'm trying to say is whatever you're going through, keep running. Keep going through because one day you'll snap out of it. One day God will say, all right, devil, enough is enough. you've tested and tried my child long enough, and now you're finished. All right? And this is happening to all of us, and we don't understand what's going on. And so we give up. Or our family or our friends give up on us. And instead of them praying for us and seeking God's face, trying to find out what's going on, they judge and condemn, and that's not God. You're not showing them Jesus. All right? You are not running against others. You're racing with yourself and for God. Are you listening to this? When you're running the race, you're not running against others. I'm not competing with Nancy here. I'm running the race with myself and for God. This is my race that God has called me to run. And I don't care if you're faster than I am. I don't care if you're slower than I am. That's none of my business. I'm going to run my race. You run your race. But let's run our races well. God might have called you just to sit and warm a chair. And he might call somebody else to get out there and start churches. Whatever it is, you do what God's called you to do, but do it well. Came to me last night as I was studying this, that Jesus told Peter, don't you worry about what's going to happen to John. You just do what I'm telling you to do. And I remember one time Brother Larry went to a prophetic conference, and they prophesied over him, and he came out of the room mad. I said, what are you mad about? He said, God told me I couldn't do what other people do because of the calling on my life. He said, I don't understand why I can't do what they do. You know, don't worry about what somebody else is doing. You do what God's calling you to do. And I know that happens in the body of Christ today. People are looking at somebody else, well, how come they can do this, God, and you don't smack them in the head, but yet I can't do it. It's because of your calling. And everybody's calling is different. So don't try to compare yourself to somebody else, because it does not work. All right, if you keep running until you finish the course, you will win the race if you keep running. Paul said it best in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. See what he did? I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Those are the three things that we have to do running this race that we're in. And God told me that too many of his people have quit the race. They've just sat down. I can't do this. If you couldn't do it, God wouldn't have called you to do it. It's the enemy deceiving you, trying to make you believe that what you were doing was not called of God. God never said it was going to be easy, did he? And every one of you sitting in here, you can vouch for the fact that your walk with you were fine until you got born again. And then you started learning all about the devil. And then all of a sudden, there you are. You're in the battle of your life. It's not because you're sinning. It's because you're anointed of God. And the enemy has to destroy you before you destroy his kingdom. I remember I wasn't very sick very much, and I became born again. I was going to this wonderful spiritual church, and I got deathly ill. The pastor came by my bed and was praying for me. He said, what percent are you in, sister? I said, I'm not in any type of sin. But see, that's what they always thought. If you got sin, you got sick, you're in sin. It was just the devil attacking me. So don't look at somebody and say, oh, what kind of sin are you in? What are you doing wrong? No, pray. And see what God says about it. My reply to that pastor was, Pastor, now you know better than that. You need to ask God what I've done wrong. Then next day he came to see me and he said, God told me you didn't do anything wrong. So, but see, don't do that to people. Just because they're going through a hard time, don't say, well, what kind of sin are you in? Because the enemy's going to try to stop everybody in this room. He does not want you to finish your race. He does not want you to finish the assignment that God has placed you on. He does not want those souls saved that God has appointed for you to save. Remember one time God told us every one of us have 1 million souls that we're supposed to save? Now, do you think the enemy's happy about that you're going to save 1 million souls? I don't think so. And he's going to fight you. He's going to put all kind of stumbling blocks in front of you, your race. God told me one day, daughter, keep on running because I went ahead of you and I've removed all the stumbling blocks. So I'm saying to you, keep on running. God has already gone before you. He's already removed all those stumbling blocks. And you can finish your race and you can finish it well. And then he says in number 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. See, he's running. He was running for his crown. And he's going to receive it because he finished his race. Are you going to finish your race? Is God's question to you this morning. Or are you going to allow somebody to steal your crown? I'm hearing God say this is a holy race too. And you have to walk with, you have to run this race with holiness and purity of mind to finish the race. You can't get caught up on side events. You can't get caught up on the things of this world. But you have to keep your mind focused on God and the things he's called you to do. All right, the seventh thing is run to win. Let us individually, all of you, run so as to win. Everyone who runs with patience will win the race. You know, I think really what happens to a lot of people, they get excited, get born again, and all these wonderful things happen, and they, oh, God sent me to do this, and they start running the race, but it's not really to, they have not counted the cost, and they don't understand, so they're not running the race to win. They're just excited and running, and there's a difference. But really, truly, to tell you the truth, God will get your attention real quick, like in the middle of your little race. And he'll tell you to settle down and slow down and get his, seek his face and get it right so you can finish the race and finish it well. There isn't one of us, and I'm included, in this room that has not gotten really excited with what God's doing. And you just went off running. And you didn't even know what you was running for. You're just running, you know, the race and just trying to do. And all of a sudden, God says, hold it, let's just stop here and let's just reason together here, right? And because if you don't reason together with God, the enemy is going to just take you right off course. Where am I at, Nancy? 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives a prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And he's saying not everybody in the house of God that starts a race is going to finish it. But he's saying he wants you to finish it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. What we should do, we should watch each other run. And if we see each other going off in the wrong direction, say, whoa, hold up a little bit here. I think you made a little curve when you shouldn't have. You had to get back on the right path again. Because people do that. I was, you know, cleaning my study out and I'm going through my books and I have one with a pastor or with a person who, when they first started to race, they was running it well. But now they've turned totally against God and all kind of stuff. And I said, I really don't want this book in with my books anymore because this man did not finish his race. You know, and I don't want it there to just, I just didn't want it in my library of books. And I prayed for this man when I saw him go, of course, because he's truly, truly anointed of God. But somewhere along the line, he just took a little side road on his race and got messed up. And it's terribly messed up right now. Same man who preached all about Jesus is now saying he doesn't exist, you know. So you don't want to do that. You want to be steadfast in your race. You want to keep your eyes upon Jesus. And you want to make sure that you check yourself every day. Am I still on the path that you would have me go on? Check yourself every day. All right? Because you, at any given day, you could get yourself on the wrong road. And I'm hearing God say many are being deceived right now in this dispensation of time. And they believe they're doing my will. And in fact, they are not. So constantly make sure you're doing God's will. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. God doesn't mind you because I know I ask him every day. Am I still in your will, Father? Yes, daughter, you are. Keep running. You know, so it's better you question than go fumbling along and get lost and not be able to find your way back. Not me. Well, if you say not me, well, then you're about the one that's going to get lost. How many of you in here, you know, about time you say, well, I'd never do that. You find yourself doing it, right? You say, oh, how terrible. Look at that. I'll never do that. Well, I caught myself one day. I said, I can't believe I just did that. You know? So whenever you say, I'm not going to lose, get messed up my race, stop. Repent for those words and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to stay in this race and I'm going to finish it. All right, the 7th, 8th thing is run for the goal, looking unto Jesus. Look away from difficulties. No race will be run if we begin by counting up the roughness and the obstacles. There is nothing more weakening than that habit of anticipating difficulties in our course. God said, live one day at a time. Don't live a month from now. He said, told me, he said, if you don't live one day at a time, you'll never make this, right? Because it's going to get harder and harder and harder. You have to live one day for time. Live that day and get through it and then get up the next day and live the next day. So I'm telling you, if you're trying to live a year from now, you're not going to make it because it's going to overwhelm you. Only because that's what God told me. And you're no different than me and I'm no different than you. And you will be, I won't get overwhelmed. Well, I'm sorry to say, yes, you will. I used to think that about myself. So that's why I can say that. Amen. Come on. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Look away from yourselves. You will never make yourself strong by groaning over your weaknesses. God knew your weaknesses when he placed you on your race. He knew them. He knew what you were going to do as you were running your race. And he's already made a way of escape for each one of us. Constantly looking unto Jesus is the principal means which the writer suggests for running with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, like Paul, keep your eyes off everything around about you and just keep running. And when you think that the devil's really at your back, just keep running. Because God has your back. And the devil's not going to be able to trip you up as long as you keep your eyes upon Jesus. You know, the Word of God says, the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. If you don't have yourself totally checked out every day between you and God, how do you know that you're not the blind that's going to lead another blind and make them fall in a ditch that day? You can't live a double standard life. When you're running your race, your mind has to be single-minded. You have to keep your eyes totally and completely peeled upon Jesus and only do what he's telling you to do. I'm hearing God say we are in a race for our life right now. And many are going to lose this race and lose their life because they're going to start looking at their circumstances. And it's going to take them out. So I'm really admonishing each one of you in here today, please take your eyes off your circumstances and please place your eyes back upon Jesus and run your race well. Jesus is our example. Therefore, looking to him will give us instruction and strength. He is the goal. Therefore, looking to him will be no hindrance. There will be no hindrance, nor will it entangle our feet. He is the judge, therefore looking to him will stimulate. He is a reward, therefore looking to him will wing our feet with hopes which are certainties. Let's say that again. Jesus is our example. Sister Nancy is not my example. Jesus is my example, all right? That's how you should feel about everybody. I'm not your example. Jesus is your example. Jesus is our example, therefore looking to him will give us instruction and strength. He is the goal. Therefore, looking to him there will be no hindrance, nor will it entangle our feet. He is the judge. Therefore, looking to him will stimulate. He is the reward. Therefore, looking to him will wing our feet with hopes which are certainties. If from the dust of the earth we look up to him from afar, he will make our feet like hinds' feet, and when the race is run, he will carry us on home. I didn't write down who wrote that. I read that in a book when I was cleaning off my bookshelves, and I thought that was pretty neat. If from the dust of earth we look up to him from afar, he will make our feet like hinds' feet, and when the race is run, he will carry us on home. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day when I go home, but my eyes are not focused on that. My eyes are focused on Jesus and what he wants me to do in my race right here on earth. We all have a job yet to do. If we didn't, we wouldn't be sitting here. We'd be home with Jesus. And so instead of concentrating on about being home with Jesus, we need to concentrate on, God, what am I to do in this race that I'm running? Because your race that you're running, the details are going to change quite a bit. It is not, he isn't going to just set you on a track and you're just going to do one thing. There's many, many assignments you're going to have in that race. And there's many, many things that he wants you to fulfill before he takes you on home. You do not know what's in another person's heart. You only know what you see in their face and what they tell you. But if you're looking to Jesus when you're talking to somebody, he's going to reveal that person for who they truly are. I mean, God just said that, but I was thinking yesterday, I said, God, you used to tell me when a person stood in front of me, you'd tell me everything about them, and you don't do that right now. He said, because you really don't need to know everything about them because some are wicked and vile, and I don't want you caught up in that. I just want you to look to me, listen to me, and just do and say what I tell you to do and say at the given time. So don't want to see what's deep down inside of a person. Just focus on Jesus. Let him reveal to you what he wants you to know. Nothing more, nothing less. And then just keep walking. I'm hearing God say sometimes you'll walk and sometimes you'll run and sometimes you'll actually sit down in your race. But you'll always get back up again. He said, in your race, you will get weary and I will tell you to rest. And when I speak to you and tell you to rest, that means sit still and just let me replenish you so you can go forth and finish the race. And don't you believe that what's happened is that we've run the race and run the race and run the race. And when God says, be still, we just kept running and we grew weary in well doing. There for a season, God spoke to us, said, do not grow weary in well doing. And we grew weary in well doing because we weren't still when God says, be still. And we're creatures that don't want to hear, be still. We want to keep on moving, even though we don't understand what keep on moving is going to do to us. It's going to wear us out. And God is saying, be still and rest for a little bit, and then I'll move you on. So some of you in here tonight, if you're running your race and you're growing weary, well, then you just need to sit a few minutes or a few days or whatever in front of Jesus and let him refresh you. Let him renew you and let him bring you forth with new vigor and new vitality to go ahead and finish the race. Now, also in this race that you're running, I'm hearing God say, sometimes there are going to be so many evil things around about you that it's going to overwhelm you. And if you aren't rested up, it's going to take you out and you're not going to be able to finish your race. In other words, you're not going to be able to save the souls that God has placed on assignment for you. You understand this? So if God puts you in a resting place, don't fuss about it. Just rest. I say, God, I'd like to rest, you know, but if he doesn't want me to sit still, then I have to keep on running. But if he tells you to sit still, then you have to quit running and sit still at his feet and let him minister to you. Because you really cannot do a good race if you're weary, if you're wore out, you're tired, your mind doesn't function right, your legs don't want to function right. This is what he's saying, so I guess it's true. You know, and you just don't know what you're doing and you just need to rest. But God's also saying, but you don't rest forever either. Just rest for a little season and get back up and start running again. Now, how many of you are running your race? You're really running your race and you're doing fine. And that's great. But how many of you are running your race, but you yourself know you've grown weary? Like me, God said, you become cynical. I taught on trust, right? And so God said, you've gone back into that pit. You don't trust the people around about you anymore. So I had to repent and come back. Now, how many of you might have done something like that, you know? You perfect God people, I just love you. Come on. I'm telling you this because I want to let you know that you are going to grow weary at times. But at those times, God will be with you and he will refresh you. I'm hearing him say, I will send angels of refreshing to you. And I will refresh you so you can get up and go on. This morning, God just wants you to know that he loves you. It doesn't matter what you're going through, he still loves you. He knew you were going to go through it. In fact, he allowed it. But he wants you to get back into the race. You've rested enough now. And he wants you to get back into the race. And this time, win the crown. Now, if you're one of those that you've grown weary, and you're not quite sure what God's trying to do with you, if you come up, he's going to minister to you in a way that only you know that it's God. He's going to minister to you, and you're going to be able to get into that race and once again and do the things that God's calling you forth to do. God's telling me to tell you, don't be a loner. Don't think you can do this thing all by yourself, because you can't. About the time you think you can do it all by yourself is when the enemy's going to come in and just tear you apart. And God is getting ready to fulfill every promise he's ever given to you. And the enemy doesn't want you to get those promises, so he's going to do everything he can to take you out. Disqualify you from the race. Don't allow that to happen. Just receive what it is that God wants to drop on you this morning. After this, then we'll do the prophetic. But right now, we want to let God minister to us. In truth and in power. It's the anointing that destroys the yokes. And what God's telling me is he's going to place an anointing upon you that will destroy the yokes in your life first. And then he's going to send you into the highways and the byways, and it will destroy the yokes in other people's lives that you come across. And he's also saying you're going to see vast deliverances in your ministries. No longer will be a one-on-one, but it'll just be, God will just free people up by the multitudes as you go to minister to them.